We read together the sacred scriptures this evening in Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Our focus tonight is on question and answer 43 of the Heidelberg Catechism in Lord's Day 16, which is based upon the truth that we find in Romans 6, particularly verse 6, which we'll focus on this evening. This is the Word of God. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we, that are dead to sin, live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over Him. For in that He died unto sin once, but in that He liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, His servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when we were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin, and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So far we read God's holy and inspired word. It's on the basis of that passage and in accordance with all of God's word that we have the truth of the Heidelberg Catechism. In Lord's Day 16, tonight we consider just question and answer 43. Question and answer 43. Question 43 asks this: what further benefit do we receive from the sacrifice and death of Christ on the cross? That by virtue thereof our old man is crucified, dead, and buried with Him, that so the corrupt inclinations of the flesh may no more reign in us, but that we may offer ourselves unto Him a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, we take up for the second time a consideration of Lord's Day 16 of the Heidelberg Catechism. Lord's Day 16 treats the death, burial, and descent of Jesus Christ into hell. In the sermon last week on Lord's Day 16, we looked at the events themselves and then considered the benefit of those events of the life of Jesus Christ. That's one of the outstanding features of this Lord's Day. Very beautifully, it sets forth the benefits and blessings of the death, burial, and descent of Jesus into hell. In the sermon last week, we considered a few of those benefits. We took note of the benefit of the satisfaction of our sins by Jesus' death on the cross. We took note of the benefit of death being changed. No longer is death for us punishment of sin, but now death is the passageway into heaven and the means by which our old man of sin ultimately is abolished. And we took note of that great benefit that we are spared hellish agonies because our Lord Jesus Christ descended into hell itself. That leaves us with a consideration yet of the 43rd question and answer of Lord's Day 16. We look at that separately this evening. One of the outstanding benefits of the death of Jesus Christ is that by the power of Jesus' death, our old man is crucified. And the purpose of that crucifixion of our old man on the cross of Calvary is that no longer are we servants of sin, but instead, we are those who are able and do, in fact, offer sacrifices of thanks to God. Let's consider tonight this question and answer and this verse in Romans 6 underneath the theme, Our Old Man Crucified with Christ. Let's notice in the first place the meaning of that, in the second place the purpose, and then in the third place the knowledge. Our Old Man Crucified with Christ. The meaning, the purpose, and the knowledge. Question and answer 43 of the Heidelberg Catechism is based squarely upon Romans chapter 6, and in particular, verse 6, which we read this evening. That by virtue thereof, more literally, by the power thereof, our old man is crucified. That's directly the language of verse 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. When the Heidelberg Catechism says, so that the corrupt inclinations of the flesh may no more reign in us, that's very similar to the end of verse 6 in Romans 6, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. And what the Heidelberg Catechism adds is the necessary, inevitable, positive implication of that. And that is, exactly as it's stated, that we are able and we do offer ourselves unto Him a sacrifice of thanksgiving. A consideration of this 43rd question and answer is really a consideration of Romans chapter 6 and the focus in verse 6. As we know, the main truth of the book of Romans is that of justification by faith alone, apart from the works that we do. The glorious truth of the Christian faith. And one of the main objections that is often levied against justification by faith alone is exactly that which the Apostle Paul brings up at the beginning of verse 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Justification by faith alone exalts the grace of God. God justifies us who are altogether unworthy. We don't deserve in any way, shape, or form God to declare to us on the basis of Christ's work that we are righteous, innocent, forgiven. But in His love for us in Jesus Christ, He does that. And in doing that, it abounds. That is, the grace of God abounds. What Paul says at the beginning in Romans 6 is something that comes out of what he says at the end of chapter 5. Notice what he says at the end of chapter 5 in verse 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And now the objection of the unbeliever to that truth is, well, if that is true, then the more we sin, the more grace abounds. And so why not continue in sin so that more and more the grace of God will abound? Paul's answer to that, inspired by the Holy Spirit, is sharp and it is strong. God forbid. Romans chapter 6 explains why it is the case and how it is the case that the justified child of God will never take the attitude of Romans 6 verse 1 and never live according to that confession. Let us sin that grace may abound. And the reason for that is exactly as he says at the end of verse 2, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? It is impossible for one who is justified by faith alone on the basis of Christ's works to take this attitude and live in it. And this is why. How shall we who are dead to sin live any longer therein? And the idea there is that a justified child of God is dead to sin from this point of view, that sin no longer is his master. He is no longer a slave to that sin. He has been freed from the bondage and slavery of sin. An unbeliever who has not the life of Jesus Christ in them is alive to sin. He feeds that sin. He lives in that sin. He relishes in that sin. He loves that sin. Everything about him indicates that he is very much alive to sin. But the child of God is dead to sin. It no longer is his master. And he is no longer the slave to that sin. The rest of Romans chapter 6 explains how and why that is the case for the child of God. And what we see in this chapter, therefore, is the direct link between the cross of Jesus Christ and our life of holiness and obedience unto God. There is more to the cross of Christ than just that. On the basis of what Christ did on the cross, our sins are forgiven. That certainly is obviously a huge part of what happened on the cross, but there's more to it than that. The power of the cross is such that it affects us here and now in our life, in how we live, in our obedience to God. In other words, the reason a child of God will never say what Paul says in Romans 6 verse 1 is more than just this, that if a child of God understands justification by faith alone, then he's going to want to live in obedience and thanks to God. That's part of it. That is true. That if any child of God truly understands the grace of God to justify sinners on the basis of Christ, he is going to want to live in obedience and thanks to God. It's stronger than that. And that's what Romans 6 makes clear. Because of something objectively that happened on the cross, the fruit of that is going to have a bearing in our life here and now. We're no longer going to be slaves to sin. Everything we do serving sin, but something has changed because of what Christ did on the cross. And that is that we now have a new man and we walk according to that new man with the beginning of obedience to God. To explain that, we jump down now to verse 6. because that's the language of question and answer 43 of the Heidelberg Catechism. And we take note of this main idea that our old man is crucified with Him. So something that happened on the cross, old man was crucified, that has a purpose for our life here and now, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth, here and now, we no longer serve sin. It's that connection that we need to try to see this evening. We need to understand then what that old man is that the apostle speaks of in Romans 6 and that we read of in the 43rd question and answer. And to do this, we need to think, therefore, of who we were prior to the work of God working the life of Jesus Christ in us. Our old man is that which we receive from our first father and our representative head, Adam, as a result of his disobedience in the Garden of Eden. We were united to Adam. And as those who are in Adam, because he is our representative head and our first father, what he did has a direct bearing upon us. And the truth of this passage in Romans 6, verse 6 is directly related to what we read in chapter 5, verse 12. And I'd like to read that and explain that. Romans 5, verse 12 says, "Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." That's the origin of our old man of sin. We were in Adam when he was in the Garden of Eden, so that when Adam ate of that forbidden fruit, this is what we must say: I ate of that forbidden fruit. I was guilty of the sin that Adam committed in the Garden of Eden. So that this is true. By one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and that death passed upon all men. Now here is the important part with respect to that old man that we receive from Adam. That old man is guilty. That old man that we have in Adam is guilty. And because that old man is guilty, what necessarily goes along with that guilt is punishment. And Romans 5, verse 12 teaches us very clearly what that punishment is. That punishment is death. That is the old man that we have by nature in Adam. We were in the garden. We ate. We were guilty. We were liable to punishment. That punishment is death. And now here's the important part. Part of that death that Adam had, and that therefore we have, is a corruption of our entire nature, that old man. And part of that death with that corrupt nature is that the only thing that we can do as a result of that punishment of death is serve and walk in sin. Legally, there is nothing else that can be true for that old man. That old man is guilty, liable to punishment. Punishment is death. Part of death is this, a corrupt nature that is held in bondage to sin. And that's the significant part, that state of our old man, the state being its guilt, has as its result a certain condition, which is that of being corrupt and being a slave to sin. Let me explain that by way of an illustration. If a murderer stands before the judge and is guilty of murder, what that judge is going to say is, "I declare you to be guilty." That is the state of that man, the state of guilt. With that state that he has, guilt, there is going to be a corresponding condition. What his circumstances are actually going to be. And what that is going to be is the punishment for that guilt of murder. And the punishment is he is going to go to jail. He's going to be in the bondage of jail. And in that, there is going to be absolute misery. So also, with respect to the old man that we have in Adam, the old man is guilty, liable to punishment. The punishment is death. And the inevitable fruit of that death is bondage, slavery, spiritual bondage and slavery to sin, so that that old man can do only one thing, and that is serve sin. Romans 6 verse 6 says this, we know that our old man is crucified with Christ. When Jesus Christ hung on that cross and died, He nailed to that cross our old man. And one of the beautiful truths of the beginning of Romans 6 is the union of Christ and His people. We were in Christ when He was on that cross, so that my old man, your old man, when He hung on that cross, was nailed to that cross and it was crucified there. And the crucifixion of that old man meant this, that Jesus Christ on that cross and in His suffering and death paid the price for that guilt that that old man had. He endured fully the punishment of that guilt. And He satisfied the justice of God for that guilt in that punishment that it deserved. The old man was crucified when Jesus Christ suffered and died. The fruit of that is astounding. God works in us new life in Jesus Christ. He works in our hearts the new man of Jesus Christ, so that that is who we are now in Jesus Christ. When God performs that work of working in our hearts the life of Jesus Christ with all of its corresponding blessings earned by God, faith, and with that faith, believing in Jesus Christ, we are justified. We are now that new man in a state of righteousness. That's the gospel, beloved, that with the new man that God works in our hearts the life of Jesus Christ. Whereas before we were only an old man, we were in the state of guilt and everything that went along with that guilt. Now in Christ, through faith which justifies us, we are righteous before God. That is our state that we are in before God. That's not us anymore, because that old man was crucified. That's not who we are. We're not in that state of guilt. We're not liable to that punishment. We don't have for us anymore what goes along with that, which is absolute corruption and a complete service to sin. This is who we are, righteous in Jesus Christ. So that this now is true. Legally, sin no longer in my life is my master. Because Christ crucified that old man on the cross, I've been delivered from that guilt. And now I am righteous, and with that comes a new man. And in that new man, I go forward walking in obedience to God and His Word. So that the fruit or the purpose of the crucifixion of the old man on the cross is exactly what we have in question and answer 43 and at the end of Romans 6 verse 6 and really the rest of the chapter as well. It looks at it from a twofold point of view. Our old man is crucified so that negatively the corrupt inclinations of the flesh may no more reign in us, and positively, that we may offer ourselves unto Him a sacrifice of thanksgiving. One of the purposes of this work of Christ to crucify our old man is that now in our life here and now, the corrupt inclinations of the flesh may no more reign in us. Prior to the work of God in us, that was true. The corrupt inclinations of the flesh reigned in us. They were our king. We served them. But now, because of this work of Christ, we've been delivered from that. And we need to understand this clearly. This does not mean that we no longer have that old man in us. He's still present. It's not who we are anymore. We are our new man in Christ. That's why we need the end, which is death, in order to once and for all abolish that old man. But that old man is still present. But legally, we are not slaves anymore to that old man. Because Christ's work on the cross, we belong to Christ. We are freed. We are a new man in Him. So that this is true. And that's why the language is important here. It does not say that the corrupt inclinations of the flesh are completely gone. We all know that from our experience. Because that old man is still there. We still have those corrupt inclinations of the flesh. But this is the point. They no more reign in us. Or to use the language of Romans 6, verse 6, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. That body of sin. The body that we have before God's work in us, which yielded His instruments in every respect in the service of sin, that has been destroyed, that's been rendered ineffective, inoperative from this point of view, as the ending phrase says, that henceforth we should not serve sin. That language is important, reigning and serving. It does not mean that we do not sin anymore, that we do not have these corrupt inclinations. But it means that we no longer are slavishly serving this sin that is present still in us due to that old man. And this bears itself out very practically in our lives. It's not true that the corrupt inclination of lust reigns over us anymore. Doesn't mean that we don't have to fight lust. We all know that we need to fight the sin of lust. But it does not reign over us. It is not our master anymore. And what is the evidence of that? The evidence is clear. We hate it. We hate it. When we walk in it, which we do at times, we are sorry for that. We don't live our life for the singular purpose of feeding that lust and enjoying that lust, but instead we live our lives in the service of Jesus Christ. We don't feed that old man, that lust that is in us, but we flee every day to Jesus Christ. That's the evidence that no longer is this true, that we have that lust as the corrupt, that corrupt inclination of lust reigning over us. No longer is it the case that that corrupt inclination of selfishness reigns over us. Do we have to fight selfishness? Yes. Do we have that inclination of selfishness? Yes. But we're not in bondage to that selfishness. Yes, there are times when, as a husband, all we want to do in our marriage is get things for ourselves. We all have that at times. But we're not slavishly serving that selfishness. When it's made clear to us that that is our sin, we're sorry for that sin. We hate that sin. And we strive to walk in obedience to Jesus Christ. We're not anymore those who have the sin of materialism, that corrupt inclination be that which reigns over us. Do we have to fight materialism? Yes. Do at times we go to work in the morning for the purpose of acquiring the things of this earth? Yes. But that's not our singular purpose anymore, to slavishly serve materialism and gain the things of this earth. We go home at night and we read our Bibles with our families, and we're led to realize again that I'm a pilgrim and I'm a stranger. We come into the house of God and we know that that's not who I am, but I belong to Jesus Christ and my home is in heaven. It's true at times that for a child of God, he may become one in bondage to a particular sin. That happens when a particular sin takes complete control of a man or a woman for a particular time. But if one is a child of God, the Lord, through means, will show that sin to him or her in such a way that this is true, that there's a turning, there's a hating, there's a fleeing to Jesus Christ, so that it is no longer true what was true for a time, that in that particular sin they were in bondage to it, when in reality they were not fully in bondage to it, because God delivered by the power of Jesus Christ. For such a man, that old man was crucified on the cross. They are righteous in Jesus Christ. And with that comes the positive as well. And the positive is that we may offer ourselves unto Him a sacrifice of thanksgiving. By the power of that new man, which is who we are, we make a small beginning in walking in obedience to God. So that it's not just the negative, that those corrupt inclinations no more reign over us, but there's also a positive, that by the power of the new man, we do go forth in obedience to the praise and to the glory of God. Whereas before, someone was slavishly serving lust, now, by the power of that new man, sacrifices of praise are offered to God in the way of obedience by living holy and living chastely in this life. A husband and a wife dedicated only to expressing themselves sexually in the marriage bond. A dating couple that is committed to being chaste until marriage. A single person living in the midst of a sex-crazed world, dedicated to obedience to God by living in a holy way. All of those by the power of the new man in us, which is the offering of sacrifices of thanks and praise to God. Whereas before, slavishly serving self, now by the power of the new man, we hear the great commandment to love God and love your neighbor. And we go forth living in a small way in obedience to that commandment, offering sacrifices of thanks to God. A husband dedicating his life for the good of his wife, leading and guiding her. A wife submitting to her husband in love. Parents faithfully raising their children. Office bearers giving themselves for the good of the congregation. A church member loving the fellow believer in the church. Whereas before, slavishly serving materialism, now, with the life of Christ and the power of Christ, we make a small beginning as a sacrifice of praise and thanks by living as a pilgrim and a stranger, seeking the things which are above, understanding that all of this here and now is fleeting, here today and gone tomorrow. Jesus Christ on the cross crucified our old nature. He paid the price for the guilt that that old nature had. He killed it. Worked in us life. Worked in us faith. By faith we are justified, so that no longer are we that old man in the state of guilt, but now righteous in Christ. And with that new man, we are free and make a small beginning, serving God, no longer slaves to sin. The beginning of Romans 6, verse 6 says, knowing this, and we end with the knowledge of this truth. This is an emphasis in Romans chapter 6. Take note of that. Verse 3, know ye not. Verse 6, what we're focusing on, knowing this. Verse 9, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead. Verse 11 is very important. Likewise, reckon ye yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. Know yourselves, consider yourself to be dead to sin and alive to Christ. The knowledge here, beloved, is the knowledge of faith. In our hearts, in our minds, we believe this truth revealed in Romans 6, that our old man was crucified with Christ on the cross. So that this is true, that the body of sin has been destroyed and I am no longer a slave to sin. It's the knowledge of faith. Faith that believes in Jesus Christ and the truth of God's Word. That is so important to remember. That we do not base this truth first and foremost on our experiences, and that is so important for us in so many respects, that we need to go back and hear the objective truth of God's Word and believe this truth and believe it for us personally. And the reason for that is we know so much our old man is present, and that old man has an effect upon our lives, and we see so clearly our sin and the power of that sin still in our lives right now. Every child of God with a good conscience is sensitive to the reality of that old man and the sin that still clings to us. And so, instead of looking at that which can lead us down a wrong path, this is what we do. By faith, we believe that this is true. I am not that old man anymore. I used to be, and in Him guilty, subject to death, corruption, slave to sin. But that's not me anymore, even though I experience that old man right now. That's not me. I'm dead to sin because I believe in Jesus. I'm alive. God has worked in me the life of Christ. God has given me the gift of faith. I believe in Christ. And therefore, I'm not guilty with that old man anymore, but I am righteous in Jesus Christ, so that this is true. Though He is present, that old man is destroyed, and henceforth I do not serve, am not a slave to sin. We need to know that every single day, and that's the idea of the participle there, something that we continuously know, which is to say that every single day we put our faith, our trust in Jesus Christ. We believe in Him. We trust in Him for the forgiveness of our sins. And in believing in Him, we are righteous. And are assured again that this is true. I am not that old man, but I am a new man, righteous in Jesus Christ. And believing that every single day, beloved, it has a profound impact in our lives, so that we do, in a very real way, go forth as those who are no longer slaves to sin, but we go forth with the freedom we have in Christ, living our lives with that small beginning of obedience, hating sin, fighting against sin, striving every day by the power of that new man to make a small beginning in walking to the glory of His name. As we read in the Catechism, with the corrupt inclinations no more reigning in us, but instead offering ourselves as sacrifices of thanks to God. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Jesus Christ and His work to crucify our old nature so that we no longer legally are subject to death, punishment, corruption, bondage, and slavery to sin. What a deliverance, Father, that we have through faith in Jesus Christ. And we thank Thee for that new man that Thou hast worked in us, who we are in Jesus. And help us even in this week to go forth by the power of that new man day by day. For Jesus' sake, amen.